you on page 963 if you care to follow along. The letters to Timothy are called the pastoral epistles because they contain advice especially intended for leaders in the church. Here, the mercy shown to Paul, who once persecuted the church, is cited as evidence that even the most unworthy may become witnesses to the grace of God. A reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as you're able for the gospel reading.
Today's gospel comes to us from Luke, the 15th chapter, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 850. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. 9/11. It's hard in some ways to come on this day and to think about, and not to think, I guess, about what happened 15 years ago. Because for many of us, that day is still pretty vividly etched in our mind. And we can remember where we were and what we were doing and how we felt 15 years ago when those terrorists attacked in New York City. And yet at the same time, 15 years is a long time ago. Neil, who was here at First Service, he was just 6 weeks old when 9/11 happened. And so when my husband and I talk about that at home, for him, it's kind of like I felt when my parents talked about JFK's assassination and how they felt and what they were doing on the day when they learned that the president had been assassinated. And so it's fascinating that how events are so vivid and so etched in our memory for one generation, but for the next generation, it is just a story in a textbook or video on the screen. And and it doesn't have the same impact as it does when you are there, because time does march on, and there are good things about that and not so good things about that as well. And as I thought about, you know, how to preach or what to say about the anniversary, to remember that, and yet also to talk about the text for today, I thought about, I thought about that theme that runs through our gospel today, the theme of lost and found. Because I think that is a powerful theme, and it resonates on a variety of levels. Because I think 15 years ago, I don't know about you, but as I watched the TV, I saw people who were lost. And I felt a little bit lost myself, seeing people who had lost loved ones. And there's those, I have a memory of the fence that had all the photos of family members that people were looking for and not sure if they were in the hospital or alive or dead. And seeing folks search for loved ones. And seeing people navigate that landscape of New York City that was so different, and it was so alien with all the dust and debris and the papers floating around, and how in an instant everything had changed so much for the folks who lived in New York City. And so there was some feeling of loss that day and of being lost. But then also there was the feeling of being found, that people rallied together and we did things, whether it was to donate blood or to donate money or to bring supplies to send or to send family members to go and volunteer or whatever, however we helped. There was a sense that the country kind of found itself and came together. And people found comfort in that as we together helped each other and prayed and supported each other. It seemed like for a time we had kind of found a new unity, or at least a remembered unity. And so that theme of lost and found is a piece of our remembrances of this day, I think. And in today's gospel, it's also a focus. It's interesting because it starts out with the scribes and the Pharisees really grumbling and muttering among themselves about who is this Jesus guy? Because here Jesus is eating with sinners. And that is a big deal, because they don't want Jesus to welcome the sinners, really, do they? No, they want Jesus to berate those sinners and to yell at them and to critique them and say, you know that you should have been doing better, and you know you need to do X, Y, and Z to be accepted and to, you know, to get your life back in order. That's what the Pharisees and the scribes really want, is Jesus to come down on these people and say, hey, get your life back organized. Shape up, do these things. And here, Jesus eats with them. And over the course of the meal, does he yell at them? Does he berate them? Does he do any kind of that stuff? No. Jesus eats with them. Horror of horrors. And for the Jews, it was a horror of horrors, because Jesus was getting contagious things from being around these sinful people. But Jesus doesn't choose to critique or to have a checklist and say, oh, you failed X, Y, Z, and so your punishment is this. But no, Jesus eats and visits and just is himself with folks and welcomes them and tells them the good news, that God has not forgotten them, that they are beloved by God. And so in response, Jesus also shares these two parables, these two stories. The one is a story of 10 coins. And in the Middle East in Jesus' day, and even today now, sometimes you see photos of women who have necklaces with coins as part of the decoration of a necklace. And for in the ancient times, it was your bride price that you would display on the necklace. And so this woman has 9 coins that are remaining, but she's lost one. And so she tears the house apart looking for this lost coin while the other nine are just kind of ignored as they hang there on the necklace. And then there are the 99 sheep who are left to fend for themselves while the shepherd goes off and leaves them to fall into a ravine or drink icky water or be attacked by a wolf while the shepherd goes and seeks for that one little lost lamb and brings it back. And when the lost lamb is found, when the coin is found, there is rejoicing and celebration and even a party. And it is good news for that lost sheep, good news for the lost coin, good news for the sinners that Jesus is eating with. But what about those who have faithfully been there the whole entire time? What about the 99? What about the 9 coins? I invite you to think about the parable of the waiting father, the parable of the prodigal son, when the younger brother, takes half the money and goes and kind of wastes it and comes back home. The older brother is not very thrilled with the situation, is he? He says, I have been here the whole time. I have done what you wanted me to do. I have to take out the trash. I've done the dishes. I've done the grocery shopping. I've farmed. I've spent long hours in the field, even longer than before because my brother's no longer here to help. I have taken on the burden of our life together, Dad. And now when my brother comes back, you throw him a party? And I never even got like a little tiny goat to celebrate with my friends, to have a party and to kill and eat the goat? The old brother is just a little bit miffed in this situation. But the dad says, you have been with me, and all that I have is yours. But can't you see that when my son came back, who I thought was dead, who I thought I'd never ever see again, that when he came back, we had to celebrate, we had to rejoice when the lost was found. And oftentimes I think that regular church folks, faithful church folks, we kind of identify more with the 99 sheep and more with the older brother. Because sometimes, church folk who are here almost every Sunday are here almost every Sunday, right? And sometimes, I know even when you're on vacation, right, you find a church and go and worship, right? Because sometimes you bring me back the bulletins. Just so I can mark it off that, yes, you did attend. But it is fun to look at the bulletins, I will say that. But yeah, we're the kind of people who are dependable, who are reliable, who Sunday morning at 11 o'clock or 8:30 in the morning, your family knows where you are. They know you're going to be in worship. And so we can, we've been here the whole time. And sure, we have had dark nights of the soul where we question and where we wonder and when we see, is this really all worth it at all? Is God really there? Does God really love me? Why did this happen to me and the people I loved? If why didn't God prevent this? We have asked those kind of questions and we have wrestled with those kind of issues. But we're not ready just to throw it all up and to walk away. And so week after week, Sunday after Sunday, month after month, year after year, on Sunday morning, where do you find us? Here we go, right here in church. And so we can identify with the older brother, with the scribes and the Pharisees. Why all the fuss over that one who has been lost and now is found? Surely, we who've been here the whole time, our loyalty, we should be rewarded, we should be commended. There should be a special Sunday for those who've always been here. And perhaps that's where the story calls us to rethink and to refocus. When Jesus begins talking in today's gospel, he asks a question that kind of just skims right over our head. Jesus asks the question, Which one of you having 100 sheep? Which one of you having 10 coins. Which one of you? So what if the story is not exactly about God, but what if the story is also about us? What if the story is about us? That we are called to be the ones to help find the lost. That we're called to be part of that, not just sit by and watch, but we are called to be out there searching and seeking and encouraging and celebrating. And then if we're part of the search party, then when somebody is found, or the koala bear is found last night, or the missing toy or the key or whatever is lost is found, if we're part of the looking, then the rejoicing feels a lot different. Because we are excited, we are celebrating, we are happy, because we know the struggle that has gone into the search. And we have been part of that searching. And then when we help find somebody, that's when we know the joy that God knows, when God sees us come back to God. And so as you see things happen in your life, as you see things happen in the world, as you see the lost become found, it is our responsibility, our privilege as Christians to be part of that seeking and to rejoice when we see somebody on Facebook say, "I'm praying for you," or when we hear a story about how somebody reached out to someone who was in need, or somebody gave of themselves to help another person. Somebody stepped out of their comfort zone to come to someone's aid. That's when we need to say, "Yay! Yay, God!" That's when we need to celebrate and say, "See, God's fingerprints are here. God is at work." And that's when we are called to celebrate and to rejoice and to give thanks. Because it's our privilege to help God seek out the lost and to celebrate when people are found and to bring them here to the best celebration of all. The celebration as we together gather around God's table. Those of us who are here in this time, in this place. Those of us who are across the globe at this time, in this place. And those who are in heaven. All gather together around the table. Drinking Jesus' body, eating Jesus' blood. United in that gift of love, that gift of forgiveness that is for all of us. And when we do that, when we all are together around the Lord's table, that is when God says, "Yes, yes, it is good. It is good." So until that day, when all creation sings God's glory, it's up to us to be working with God to help make better.